Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So for the last 2 weeks, as many of you are either aware of or you're busy partaking in our annual Daniel fast here at the church, and many of you are fasting and trusting God for a breakthrough. Even some of you that aren't fasting, you trusting God for something in your life, for some form of breakthrough. And I believe God is wanting to give us breakthrough. But I want to show you a few things. You know, one of the things about fasting that is really powerful, and you know, if anybody doesn't believe that fasting is applicable to the New Testament disciple, that would be inaccurate. Because Jesus said, when they questioned him about why his disciples were not fasting, he said to them, they don't need to fast because the bridegroom is with them. But when the bridegroom is taken away, they will fast. Everybody say, they will fast. That means that disciples of the New Testament will fast. If you study scripture, you'll find that many times throughout the book of Acts, we see that they fasted. That they fasted and prayed. So we know that the New Testament disciple is supposed to, or at some point, will more than likely choose to fast. Something that you need to feel led to do. Any sacrifice is something that someone must feel in their heart that they must do. You'll see in the Old Testament, when we look at Daniel, and we're doing the Daniel fast here at the church, you'll see that Daniel, it says he purposed in his heart. In other words, he had set his heart to make a decision to fast for a breakthrough. In his case, he was fasting for scriptures to be opened to him. He was fasting for the children of Israel, for God to speak to him about what was going to take place and what the prophets had written about. So he was really seeking God for a breakthrough, for a word from the Lord. And it's amazing because the angel appears to him much later during the fast, or after the fast, and says to him that when he had set his heart, his words came up before the Lord. And the angels, they heard and responded immediately because of the commitment that he'd made. There's no question that God does move when we make a commitment to him, when we go beyond the normal. And this morning, I want to show you that, you know, God has been, as I say, speaking to me very clearly. All I've been hearing from, you know, from the Lord is breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. So I'm believing God's going to give many of you a supernatural breakthrough during this season. What is a breakthrough? A breakthrough is a sudden, dramatic development or discovery, according to the dictionary. That's the Webster's dictionary. So in other words, it's when something suddenly happens, which would either be a development or something taking place, or a sudden discovery. So for example, in your business, you could have a sudden discovery that would give you a breakthrough. An idea that would come and bam, you get the breakthrough in your business. Or you might have a dramatic development. For example, you've been praying for something in your personal life. Perhaps it's your finances. You've been trusting God, asking him to open a door, and suddenly there's a dramatic change. Or suddenly a miracle takes place in your body. Or suddenly something happens that causes you to move from one level in Christ to the next level in Christ. You know, I've heard many people say that there's no such thing as we're all on the same level. Well, that's not really accurate, because the Bible says you go from faith to faith, which means that one level of faith to another level of faith. You go from glory to glory, one level of glory to another level of glory, or dimension, whatever you want to call it. But the fact is that in Christ we do grow. Amen. And a lot of that growth depends on what you do with what God has already given you. He's given you tools. He's equipped you. He's paid the ultimate price so that you can be a disciple, so that you can be used in his kingdom to do incredible things for him. Can you say amen? But what does it help me if I have tools that I don't use? If I just look at them and hope they'll do the job on their own? Doesn't work that way. God has equipped you with the full armor of God. To do what? To do battle against the enemy. Yes, the victory has been done, but there's still armor and you still have to fight a good fight of faith. Amen. In order for us to see a breakthrough take place, sometimes it's going to have to require you to do or go beyond what is normal. Now, let's take a look in our Bibles and we'll have a look at two stories this morning. One, well, let's just go to Mark 2, verse number 1. Mark 2, verse number 1. It's time to wake up. All right. And again, he entered Capernaum after some day. And it was heard that he was in the house, and immediately gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd. So there were these four men that had to do something that was not normal because they'd made a decision that they were going to get their friend to Jesus. But what's interesting, and you'll find throughout Scripture, and you'll find that even today in our Christian walks, it's very much the same in some ways, that there's always a crowd around him. There are most of us living our Christian lives, doing what is right, walking with God, going through the motions of being Christians, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's good. That's what we do. We follow the Lord, just like the crowds followed the Lord. But sometimes you'll find that there's a necessity for you, if you want a breakthrough, to do something that is not normal, that makes you or causes you to go beyond the natural, to reach out to God in a supernatural way. Let me give you another story, and we'll come back to this one in just a minute. Again, where there's a crowd, and that causes a reaction that requires you to go beyond what is normal. Let's go to Luke 8, verse 43. Luke 8, verse 43. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" In other words, what Jesus is saying, or what Peter rather is saying, is, "What do you mean, who touched you? Everyone's touching you. There's a whole crowd around you. So what do you mean, who touched you? They're all touching you. In some way, we are all doing that. But there was something different about this woman's touch. There was something different." And it says, "But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me.'" You see, this is what happens to us when we fast. You must understand that when you fast, you are saying that I'm not accepting the normal. I'm going to take a step of faith and go beyond what is natural and do something that will cause a response from heaven. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, she put her reputation on the line. She didn't touch him like anybody else. In fact, she could have been stoned for what she did. She was unclean. She was not allowed to be there. She was not allowed to go through the crowd. But she took a step of faith and acted out in a way that could have caused a lot of trouble for her. Remember last week I taught you about the story with the epileptic child. With the epileptic child, we see in Scripture that what takes place is that the disciples can't cast the demon out of the child. So they go to Jesus and they say, "Well, Lord, what must we do? What could we do? Why could we not cast the demon out?" And he answers by saying, "Because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief, you couldn't do it." What does he proceed to say? He proceeds to say that if you had faith as a mustard seed, you would be able to say to this mountain, "Move," and it'll move. And then he goes on afterwards and he says, "But this kind does not come out through prayer and fasting." Now look at the flow of the story. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that you need more faith in order for you to be able to step into a realm that is not normal. You need to have more faith. So in other words, he's saying that a way for you to get that faith will be for you to do something that's not normal. What is not normal? Prayer and fasting. Going beyond what is natural to get a supernatural response. In order for the disciples to get more faith, they would need to fast and pray so that they would have more faith because their faith increases. You see, when you fast, what you're doing is you're saying, "God, I'm going to make a sacrifice, and I believe that this sacrifice is real and true and will get a response from you. It's very quiet in Vero Beach this morning. So you're fasting. What it does is it increases your faith because you are trusting God. You are doing something in the natural that shows that you believe. That's not normal. Listen, coffee, just coffee for 3 weeks is a sacrifice. Amen. Now that's me, you know. I mean, I've been doing all the other fasting stuff too, but I mean, I can handle that. It's the coffee that's painful. But when you do it, there's a response, a spiritual response that takes place that begins to increase your faith, and then all of a sudden there's an action that takes place in the spirit. And it causes a breakthrough. It causes a very, very powerful breakthrough. But here's the thing. Let's read the rest of the story real quick, and then we'll get back to it. And Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." You see, the fact is, it was her faith, her response, her stepping out, doing what's not normal, taking a risk and doing something supernatural that isn't what everybody else is doing to get a response. Fasting causes you to step out of that natural realm and moves you into that realm of doing something that's unexpected and causes a response from heaven. Now, here's the reality. Many of us will do that. Many of us will fast and pray and trust God for a breakthrough. And that's good, right? But I want to show you something this morning that I'm hoping will really encourage you. Let's go to Mark 2. The story we were busy, start again in verse number 1, so I can give you the context again. And again he entered Capernaum, that's Jesus, after some days. And it was heard that he was in the house, and immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, so that they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Now let's stop there for a minute. Okay. Let me get 5 guys. You know who you are. Nick, would you organize that for me? 5 guys, real quick. Okay, I need 2 more guys. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I need 1 more. All right, now remember, in order for you to get a breakthrough sometimes in your spiritual walk, it will require you to do something that is a little bit beyond the norm, to go outside of the crowds and do something that requires more from you. Fasting is one of those things, and we often do it for results for ourselves. But I want to show you a principle this morning that I really hope will encourage you and us as a church, that we will take this mandate and challenge and really do this concerning our city and our neighbors. Watch this now. Here's 4 guys that wanted to get this guy, this paralyzed person, they wanted to get him to Jesus. And how many of you know that when they got there, can you imagine, first of all, it was probably a long journey. We don't know how they got him there, but they probably carried him there. Once they got there, the crowd was so big that they couldn't get to him. The door was closed and blocked, and there was no way to get to Jesus except to climb the roof and to get on the roof. Now, if you study culture of that day, you'll find that the houses there are kind of like square, and the way that they work is they have 1 or 2 stories, but let's just say it's a 1-story house, and so let's say that it's maybe a little above that first black tile there on the wall, say halfway up, that's about the height, and most of those houses had 2 ways to get on the roof. The 1 way would be with steps, which I'm going to give you an example of in just a minute. The other way would be with a ladder. Now, we know that a ladder, taking someone up a roof with a ladder would be really challenging, especially someone who's paralyzed, who's lame. And if you've ever carried a dead weight, it's very difficult. It's not easy to do that. But I want to show you an example of these four guys trying to carry someone up the stairs. So you guys can choose. All right. That's what I'm talking about right there. Don't hurt the man, please. He's important to us. All right. All right. Good job, guys. Okay, let me ask you a question. How was that? Was it difficult? It was difficult. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you, guys. In the first service, we had Nick's younger brother, Blake, who's very little guy and really thin, and they carried him up like destroyed my example. I was so upset. This was so much better. Thank you. So he said to me during the break, Pastor, I'm going to lie down and be totally lame so you can get the point. But the point I'm trying to make is that sometimes we need to look beyond ourselves for breakthrough. And God is wanting to give this church breakthrough. But how many of you know that we've been placed here not only for ourselves, but also for a city and for a nation? You've been saved and you are on this planet right now for such a time as this. But let me tell you something. It might require you to go beyond what is normal in order for you to get the breakthrough. Perhaps for someone that you don't even like. Perhaps for someone that you know. That you know they need salvation. And who is it that's going to stand in the gap and really make a decision to lay down their lives and see that person get a breakthrough? Those four guys chose to make a decision, to make a sacrifice, to do something that was difficult, to get that guy on the roof. And if you study it, you'll find that the way they built the roofs in those days was they would take like lots of thatch and leaves, and they'd put it on the roof, and they'd have these beams, and then they would use some kind of clay to make it hard. So it wasn't exactly easy on the roof either to make a hole. Sometimes in the movies it looks like it's just like a little bit of like palm leaves. It's not like that. They had that to prevent rain from getting through. So it was hard, and they didn't have chainsaws. You know, so they had to get up there. They didn't bring tools. They didn't think that they were going to have to get the guy on the roof to get him to Jesus. But here's the point. These four guys had purposed in their heart to get their friend to Jesus. I can tell you now that in the spirit, God is saying, yes, I want to give you a breakthrough, but I'm looking for somebody that's willing to say, God, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my friend to have a breakthrough, to get my brother-in-law to have a breakthrough, to get somebody I know to have a breakthrough. Now watch this. Amen. Watch this now. Let's read verse number 4 again. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. Now watch what the Bible says. So when they had broken through, you see, there was a moment, there was a struggle, they had to carry him, they had to get him to the stairs, they had to get him up the stairs, they had to get him on the roof. Once they got to the roof, they had to break that roof open, and once that roof was broken open, there was a sudden breakthrough that happened. And all of a sudden, look at the response that Jesus says. Look at the response. He says, when Jesus saw their face, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. You see, when you are in the motion, when you are busy fasting and praying, there's a moment where breakthrough takes place. At that moment where the breakthrough takes place, that's when the miracle takes place in your life. And immediately the Lord will respond by giving you a word, by causing the breakthrough, by causing the idea to take place. Don't think your prayer and fasting is in vain. Your prayer and fasting has a result that causes breakthrough. And there will be a moment, there will be a moment when it's difficult. You miss your coffee, you miss your sacrifice. You've been getting up a little earlier in the morning to pray. You've been getting a little closer to God. You don't feel like anything's really happened so far. But you've got to understand, that's how it works. It comes to a point where suddenly there's a breakthrough. And with those four guys carrying that paralyzed person onto the roof, all the pain of getting him up there, carrying him there, once they got there, once they broke through that roof, the breakthrough took place. And immediately the Lord responded. Because of what? Because of their faith. What did they do? They went beyond the crowds. What did the woman with the issue of blood do? She went beyond what the normal crowds were doing. Fasting and prayer causes you to go beyond. It pushes your faith. You'll get to a point sometimes while you're fasting and think, man, is this really worth it? Nothing's happening. And what you don't understand is that in you, something is busy changing. In you, something is busy shifting. We came to the e-course yesterday morning and I couldn't believe it was an e-course. And we started worshiping and the presence of God filled the building. I couldn't even stand. I had to go on my knees. People were crying. The presence filled the building. I think they were crying. I was crying. Why? Because I've been praying and fasting. Something is shifting. I don't feel it in the natural, but in the realm of the spirit, something's already begun to take place in me. That's what fasting will do for you. But here's the challenge this morning. We always do this for ourselves. Who is it that's going to take up the call to do it for their friend? The breakthrough in this story didn't happen for those four guys, although it did. The breakthrough truly happened for the guy that was paralyzed. But it took four friends to stand in the gap so that he could get the breakthrough. And I want to challenge you this morning, church. Are we going to be a church that has purpose, that will stand in the gap? We have 1 week of fasting left. 7 days from today, 7 days, we finish the Daniel fast. If you haven't fasted with us yet and you want to get involved, go ahead and do it with us. All the information you can get on the website. We're doing a Daniel fast. You can do some other fast if you want, but that's what we're doing. If you want to join in, we'd love you to. But my challenge to us as a congregation is to go beyond ourselves. And this week, let's fast for people around us. Let's fast for those that need a breakthrough. There might be someone you know that's ill that needs a breakthrough. Let's stand in the gap for them. There might be someone you know that's suffering financially. Stand in the gap for them. You know of people in the city that are struggling. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Fast for them this week. Let's stand in the gap. Let's be like those four friends that will carry up the people in this city. Can you say amen? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemous like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? It's interesting. Whenever you feel an urge or you have a desire to do something supernatural, watch out for the religious person in your family because they'll always have something to say. Oh, your father's not going to do anything. Not for you, brother. Why does this man speak blasphemous like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying this. Now watch, we never saw anything like this. We never saw anything like this. Well, I want to challenge you, church, this morning. And I'm going to take this challenge on too. That this week I will fast and pray for our city, for our nation. I will pray and seek God's face this week for somebody that I know that needs a breakthrough. Why? So that at the end of it all, we can all stand and say, I've never seen anything like this before. How many of you want to see that in your neighbor's lives? How many of you want to see that in the school where your child goes lives? How many of you want to see that in Vero Beach's lives? I want to see it. I want to see it. I believe it with all my heart. But listen, it will take someone going beyond what is normal. Can you say amen? Or we can all just go through the motions and keep doing church, and that's not bad. But God is saying, I'm looking for someone who will stand in the gap. John 15:13 says this, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. What's interesting about this scripture is we often read it, but we only read it in one way. that the greatest love is to die for someone. And yes, that is true, but you can live your life and also lay it down for your friend by doing something and making a sacrifice like one of those four men that carried up that paralyzed man. Make a decision. Let it be uncomfortable for you so that God will give the breakthrough for somebody else. Can you say amen? 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love. This is how we know love. Because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That goes for individuals. But look at this. In the book of Ezekiel 22, verse number 30, this is what the word of the Lord says. He says, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. God is looking for someone who will be willing to build the wall, for someone who will be willing to stand on that wall and intercede and fight for the city. And what you need to understand is you have been equipped. The blood of Jesus has already been spilt, and we have authority over powers and principalities, over all the power of the enemy. We have been equipped to walk victoriously, but it's time that we as a church stops being lazy. It's time that we as a church stop hiding behind false grace. It's time for us to stand up, to take our full armor and do something that's going to cause a change, that's going to cause a reaction, that's going to cause God to turn his head and say, I need to do something in that city. The Bible says he's looking for someone. The sad thing in that story is it says he found no one. I don't want us to be a generation that gets passed by because he finds no one. Can you say amen, church? Well, God already knew everything before. I get it. But let me challenge you with this. He also knew you would hear this message. And maybe, just maybe, you're the one who will take up the call. And maybe, just maybe, he knew you would take up the call. And that's why it would happen the way that it will. But someone's got to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to stand in the gap. I want to challenge you this morning, church, if I may. During this season of fasting and prayer, I'm telling you now, God is going to give many of you breakthroughs like you have never seen. That's all I've been hearing all week, 2 weeks now in the Spirit. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. And while I was preparing this message on breakthrough, and I had awesome ones from David and all kinds of stuff I was working on, and I just happened to breeze through the story. And when I got to the point where it said they broke through the roof, it hit me. That God is saying to the church right now, listen, I want to give you breakthrough. But I need you to cause breakthrough in this world. I need you to build the wall. I need you to make the sacrifice. Because you must understand, if you do it, it means you believe that he can do it. Your faith goes to a new dimension. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. One week left, and our fasting is over. And I challenge you, church, this morning to take up this call, to be like one of those four friends that will make a decision to purpose in their hearts to make a sacrifice for someone that we love. Let's close our eyes this morning. Father, we thank you so much that your word is true. And Father, I know this season of fasting has been one that many have taken up. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would just cause breakthrough to take place in our lives. Father, in our marriages, with our children, with our loved ones. Father, I pray that we would have breakthrough in every area, spiritually, financially, physically, in our bodies, Lord, that you would cause breakthrough. But I also know, Father, that you are looking for someone that will stand in the gap, not only for the people that we love dearest to us, but for our friends, for our neighbors, for the brethren, and even for our city, and even for our nation. We pray for our nation this morning, Father. We ask, Lord, we need a breakthrough in this land. Father, we need those things that are evil not to be called good, but to be exposed for what they are in this nation. Lord, evil is evil and good is good, and your word is the final authority, and that's our rule book and what we stand by. And Father, I pray that you will cause breakthrough in our government, that you will cause breakthrough in our states and in our cities, Father, in this nation. And we pray for Vero Beach this morning, and we ask, Lord, that there will be breakthrough in our city. We desire to see, Father, the lost get saved. We desire to see, Father, that people don't go to the bars for breakthrough, but they come to the churches, Father. We pray, Lord, that people will hunger and thirst for you once again. And we stand this morning, and we set our hearts to do it, Lord, this morning. We will stand in the gap for this city, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise, and we give you thanks, and we give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name. Now I pray, Father, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Spirit be with every person as they leave here today. We love you, we praise you, and we worship you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.